Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening to Blue Hardwood, the place to be to talk Dallas Mavericks. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to rate and review the show. Now, without further ado, here's the dynamic duo who are waiting with patience and anticipation for the NBA draft, Lauren and Brian.
Thank you, Billy, for that wonderful introduction, as always. If you would like to follow myself or Lauren on Twitter, you can at Brian Zill for me, first and last name. Lauren's at Elgun, at Elgun with four N's, and the show is available at Blue Hardwood. For this episode, we are looking at an article Lauren recently wrapped up for MassMoneyBall.com that it'll involve trades that the Mavericks could look at to acquire, like basically players that the Mavs could acquire if they were going to move up in the draft. But before doing so, we always have to check in on Lauren at the beginning of the show and see how she's doing.
How you doing?
I am fantastic. The restart is official, December 22nd. It's a nice day outside. Some election results have just been announced. So overall, it is a fantastic day for me. And I hope it is for everyone else, or maybe it isn't. I don't know. Maybe it'll get better. I don't know. But today, the pulse check is just about as high as it could go.
Wonderful. Love to hear that. I was going to say, if you feel comfortable enough peeling back the curtain, full disclosure, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was kind of a mess. It was something. I was not really feeling good about just what the status of everything. Just not dejected. I think that'd be a good word. It was just did not really feel good. Felt like very sad, depressed, really worried about what was next. And, you know, if you are on the other side of that coin, you know, I guess you can be upset as you want. And I'm sure whatever will happen next, it'll happen. But I think for the majority on the other side, it's a, you know, good day. It's a good day. Hopefully we can have a nice little hard reset and, you know, eventually get back to normal.
Right.
But, you know, our normal, Lauren, is, you know, getting ready for the NBA draft, which is just a few weeks away. Are you getting excited?
Oh my God. There really aren't any words to, I guess, really sum up the excitement. I think I mentioned maybe on a prior recording that my family is going to drive down to San Marcos and we are all going to watch the draft. And I cannot even tell you how much I'm looking forward to that day because, on locker room, actually, when I am on there, I'm always asking people, what do you think the over under is on, draft night trades? And I get a completely different response every single time because there are just so many things up in the air. There's a lot of movement being speculated about, and even with the I guess consolidated offseason, how everything's going to be moving very quickly, I just feel like there are a lot of variables and a lot of unknowns. And so I feel like last year I was telling myself, oh, Dallas could easily have a draft night trade, but now I hate doing it like that, but I just feel like there are so many teams that are open to trading and shopping and leveraging offers. And so I cannot wait for the chaos that is about to ensue. And I hope even if we don't make a trade, I just need us to, I don't know. I want to see who we take. I hope if we move any pick, it's 31. And I hope if we make a trade, we're not giving up too much. I said today, this morning on Twitter, actually, that I don't really want to move off of our young pieces, and those being like Jalen Brunson, Dorian, Maxey, any of those guys, unless we're bringing in someone kind of at the Beal level, which I feel like is one of the most unlikely scenarios. I'm getting super excited about the draft because I feel like, and this is another thing that we've talked about, because there has been like no March Madness and even the pre-draft scouting has been limited. I feel like this is a draft where you can really have an opportunity to find someone useful. I know people say this isn't a deep draft, this is an underwhelming draft, but in my opinion, there's always guys in drafts. Maybe at the top you're not going to get a guaranteed superstar, but I feel like there are always guys in drafts that if they're in the right team, right role, right fit, it just sometimes it just works out for everyone. So I feel like if Dallas can get someone that most people are excited about, if they keep their picks, then I mean, I'm just going to be thrilled to see how it all shakes out.
Full disclosure, I'm going to be really sad for you and Sean if somehow the Mavericks trade away all their picks and get like some type of veteran player, because then, mm-hmm. you know, what are we going to do with our draft extravaganza show that we're doing in Locker Room live on the 18th, by the way. If you have not already signed up for the Locker Room invitation, download the Locker Room app available on iTunes currently and join the fun. Me, Lauren, and Sean will be in a locker room going wall to wall with the draft and, you know, maybe giving away some swag, some gifts of some sort. So please join us. It'll be a lot of fun. But what's even more fun is really looking at these proposals that you were thinking of on picks the Mavericks could potentially acquire in the draft. So a lot of different teams that you looked up, I think we've kind of hit a little on each team. I think mm-hmm. our last episode, I think I presented Boston as a potential mm-hmm. suitor the Mavericks could move up with. Why were you leaning towards Boston as an option for the Mavericks?
So Boston, I think I mentioned that it would be the most easy pick to, or the easiest pick to acquire, I think, because Boston, I don't really think they're all that interested in having a bunch of draft picks. I think they have three in the first round, and I believe they have a fourth in the second round. Yeah, they do. They have it at 47. So I know there was a report that came out that they're looking to package those picks and maybe even move up to bring in someone that could maybe have an instant impact. And I've also seen reports that they would be open to trading those picks and trying to bring in someone that's, you know, a little bit more of a veteran or someone that could, again, give them an instant impact if that's a more, I guess, veteran player. So I think Boston showing, I guess, the cards that they're not super inclined to necessarily keep that pick. I think if you're Dallas, I don't know if throwing them 18 and 31 or anything like that, I don't know if they're going to want to bring on more picks. I think their goal is to move off the picks. So I think maybe that's where you look to, you know, throw out DeLon Wright or Justin Jackson. I know Boston, people might be like, okay, what's Boston going to do with that if they're trying to make a playoff run and those two guys didn't really do a whole lot for us? I don't know if Justin Jackson would be super interesting to them, but maybe someone like DeLon Wright, if they're looking to add a little bit more defense, if they feel like that's someone that they could use, maybe. So I feel like there may be – that's where there might be a question of, do we have something that Boston would actually want? The reason I feel like this would, I mean, it is the last pick in the lottery, and Boston has made it known that they're not super inclined to keep that pick. So I think it really just comes down to, can Dallas put something together to give to them? I don't think us moving up from 18 is necessarily how that would go. To be honest, I feel like if the trade would happen, I don't see them wanting 18 in return plus something else. I feel like they would either want a player, maybe future picks. Danny Ainge loves racking up those future picks. So I don't know what it is that they would want in return for us. So that's kind of where I'm like, maybe that's not what ends up happening. And also based on the fact that we interviewed Tyrese Haliburton and Sadiq Bey, two guys that are projected to go anywhere from maybe as high as 8, as low as 14, 13, ish. So I feel like maybe they are targeting that kind of 10 range. So that's where I'm, some of those options, I feel like we have, those could be better trade partners. Mm-hmm. But again, Boston, if they're just trying to move off the pick, I mean, I don't know what it is that they would want from us, but I don't necessarily think that they would want current picks in return, if that makes sense. So that's why I think that could be an appealing option. 'Cause then maybe you package 14 and 18 or to move on for something else, for another player or something like that. I just think this is all about Dallas having as many options and possibilities as they want. Personally, I don't really love the idea of having both 14 and 18, which might sound crazy. But if you can somehow, if you get 14 and 18, then maybe you move those again and move up, or I mean, that's a lot of moves to make, but I do kind of think there it would be better and make more sense to go a little bit, shoot for a little bit higher, because I just feel like right. There are so many questions with those other teams. I just don't know what Boston is wanting in return, if that makes sense.
Boston will be a difficult trade partner for anybody because they're so top heavy on their contracts, and there's really not anybody that you can really add as a kind of a filler to match salaries. Other than once you get past Daniel Tice, he's making $5 million next year. You've got Langford at 3.5, Vincent Poirier at 2.6, Grant Williams, $2 million, Robert Williams, $2 million, Watermaker, not even $2 million, Ogilvy, not even $2 million, Taco Fall, he's making a 1.5, Edwards, 1.5. So they'd be really difficult to maneuver anything with. I don't really think there's that big of a gap between 14 and 18 unless Mavericks mm-hmm. are just really trying to get somebody like Bay, who from Villanova, unless he was falling a little bit. I feel like Boston, you could easily get that. You could buy a draft pick from Boston, I believe.
Right. I think so, because, too.
Yeah. So I think whether they're willing to get off, that 26 or 30th pick, I mean, I don't know if you really want to pay. I don't know what it. I think it's probably anywhere from $2 to $3 million. I think based on the draft range. But if you really fell in love with somebody at 26, if the Mavericks wanted to take somebody that really were more high on at 30, and maybe take like a flyer at 31, like a at McDaniels, I think that's like completely. I'm open to that. So it's not like the worst thing in the world. But if the Mavericks did have to give up substantial assets just to jump in four spots, I don't really think that it makes much sense. I mean, Patrick Williams right now on Tankathon's mock draft, that's where Patrick Williams is currently slotted. Is that really somebody that you would want to try to, like, that you're that desperate to get? Or, you know, maybe he falls to 18. Who knows?
Yeah, to be honest, my goal, if they're trying to move up in the draft, this for me is like, if you're moving up in the draft, you're moving up to take someone. And I know that that's not necessarily what would happen if they do move up. I know a lot of people are talking about them moving up and then looking to flip that pick plus assets for maybe a bigger player, which again is also something that I'm open to. But for the sake of this conversation, I want to say that we're going to move up to select one of these prospects towards the top of the draft. And so if I'm Dallas and I'm moving up, I'm looking at guys like Precious Achiuwa, Tyrese Halliburton, obviously Sadiq Bey, I think would be actually, I do think he would be a great fit, even though he's currently slotted at 13. I think he could go as high as maybe even 10. But yeah, and then there are two guys that I also think could be really interesting conversations, that I believe I included in the article. And those two guys are Onyeka Okongwu and Obi Toppin. I feel like people are iffy on Obi Toppin. And I do feel like people like Okongwu. The reason I throw Okongwu, Toppin, and even Halliburton out there is because those are guys that I feel like initially were projected to go pretty high. And I mean, as high as maybe anywhere from 4 to 7, especially with Obi, who's currently slotted at 5. And those three guys, I think those three guys, one of them, maybe even two of them, are going to fall because there really are so many picks that can happen or that are happening before. I don't think Cleveland, who has the 5th pick, is super inclined to take someone like, I don't know, Killian Hayes or even Tyrese Halliburton. I think they're looking to add a wing, maybe like Okoro. I don't really think that they are that interested in adding Obi Toppin, even though that's who they're currently slotted at 5 to select. I just don't see that happening. And then with Atlanta, I mean, I've talked about Atlanta is, I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit, but I feel like Atlanta should be prioritizing a wing more so than another guard. And that's also something that we've talked about back when we were having the John Collins conversation. So some of these guys, I feel like could actually come in and be great fits with our roster. Obi Toppin, questionable on defense, but let's be real, the physicality of that guy and the fit that he would have. I mean, if you go watch the first highlight reel that pops up and you watch the way he dunks the ball, holy crap. Just imagine the back doors with Brunson, the lobs from Luka. I mean, it just, if you can get up into that tenet, right? If you can get as high as, if you can get to six, or if you can get around that 10, I actually don't think that that would be too difficult to trade all the way up there. And I think that there are some great players around there that could come in and have, I mean, easily get 15 minutes a night and become a quality role player for us.
Now, let's talk about, I want to talk about the Onkongwu guy. I'm not, so try to help me and then everybody else out there really understand, like, so what, like, from what are the major pros and cons between like him and Toppin?
Okay. So Okongwu is much better defensively. I think that is, that's going to be the main difference between those two. Okongwu, he played 30 minutes a game, in his, let's see, I believe he was a freshman. Wasn't he a freshman? Yeah. In his freshman season at USC, he averaged 16 points, nearly three blocks and 8.5 rebounds. So he's the type of guy, he is a little bit, I mean, people talk about him being undersized. He's 6'9", 245. So he's, if you're a team that doesn't really have like a 7-footer, or maybe you don't want him to be your big man, but Okongwu is the type of guy that I think could maybe first game of the season, he wouldn't be a starter, but I think he could easily work his way into that starting lineup because he would be an excellent fit next to Porzingis. He brings a lot of defense. The shot blocking is, he's great at that. He's super, super athletic. And I mean, he would be a great fit next to Porzingis. He would be very similar. He would play the Dwight Powell role. I get so excited about it because people really talk about his ceiling being so, so high, which is, I think, part of the reason he's been talked about as this top 10 pick. And that's, I think, what originally started make his stock rise. So I think he would be a fantastic selection. As far as Toppin goes, again, people do question his defense a little bit. He's a little bit older. He was a sophomore at Dayton, but he's, what, nearly getting close to 23. He's 6'9 and 220. So he's just a little bit of a different kind of prospect. But Toppin can shoot the three, whereas Okongwu can't. Let's see. Toppin shot 39% from three. I'm trying to see how many attempts per game, but I'm not seeing that right now. So he does show the ability to stretch the floor, average in nearly 32 minutes per game. He averaged 20 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2 assists and 1 block and 1 steal. So he's very versatile, very athletic. His build, again, my God, he's got a great build, and he's got the type of body that's NBA ready now. Some guys, like, I mean, Halliburton is a guy that people are like, you need to add some weight if you want to be super effective in the league. Toppin, I think, physically is already there. So if he can continue to improve that three-point shot, I think he could be great for the way the NBA is moving. And as far as the modern NBA, the small ball big, I think he could be fantastic. What I like about Okongwu and the reason I like him more is obviously the defensive impact that he will come in and have. He will make that presence known very quickly, and the athleticism, and then also the room to grow. He's, again, much younger than Toppin, and I just, oh my God, I think he would be such a fantastic fit for this team.
Yeah, on the surface level, I mean, you've obviously been diving in a little bit more. I'm a little bit more familiar with Toppin. I just, when I see Toppin, I just see, hello, this is like what Luka hasn't had since he's been on the Mavs. Like, he's everything embodies like what he's yearned for since he's been on like the Mavs. So I'm completely like, that's what I'm open to. You know, with Okongwu, if he is better defensively, everybody needs that. Like, everybody wants to be better defensively, so I'm certainly open to that. You know, if he can provide a little bit of everything, that's great. But I think, like, right now, from what I know, my answer could change in a couple weeks. Maybe I'll lean towards Okongwu, but, like, for right now, till I do a little bit more research, I'll probably lean towards Toppin just because I think the lobs between him and Luka could be magical. It'd be really fun. So within your article, Lauren, we already kind of touched base a little bit on Boston as far as being kind of like maybe a team Dallas could be a trade partner with. Last week, we did actually talk about Atlanta being another team potentially. So with Atlanta. I know that's like a team that we would love to get involved, like with John Collins and everything like that. But I think if if I'm looking at this correctly, I think the sweet spot, if the Mavericks can't get to six, I want to present you two trade partners on the fly.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one, we did actually talk about this team a little bit previously. So the Pistons at seven, right? So my thinking is, okay, if the Mavericks want to move up to seven, I believe they would have to give up picks 18 and 31. And looking at the Pistons roster, I think they probably want you to take some money off their books. And the Pistons would probably want something in return. So what do you think about the Mavericks moving up, getting the pick seven from the Pistons, and having their choice of Toppin or Okongwu, and the Mavericks would give the Pistons a 18-31, and in a player exchange, Detroit would be sending us Tony Snell, and then we'd be giving up Dwight Powell.
Ooh. Oh, man. You know, that's interesting. What's Tony Snell's contract? Can you see that?
Yes. So Tony Snell's got he's got one more year at $12 million.
Okay. So personally, I mean, I would be very okay with that. Obviously, I would like to move up and moving off of, as much as I love Dwight Powell, moving off of that contract, I think could be good for us. I don't know if Detroit does that because I think they really need a point guard. I know they've got Derrick Rose, but I think they're looking for a point guard for the future. They're looking for something to really kind of they're looking for someone to, I think to give the keys to. And so I have heard so many people talk about Detroit taking Killian Hayes, even Tyrese Halliburton, but I think they're more set on someone like Killian Hayes. So I think Detroit, as much as I would love to move up to seven, I'm not sure Detroit is going to be too inclined to move off of that pick.
So what if it's Powell and Brunson? Do you think they do it?
Nope. I'm not doing that. Nope.
You're not doing it?
No, Brunson, I am so, I mean, it's going to take a lot for me to move off of Brunson. I think I mentioned this the other day, having guys like Maxey, Brunson, Seth Curry, I think that puts us in a position, and even Dorian Finney-Smith puts us in a position, I don't want to say similar to the Nets because it's not, well, hear me out. The reason that I think that this could, keeping these guys, I don't want to trade them for a pick. If we're going to move those guys, I think it needs to be for, you're going to package all of them to go out and get someone like Bradley Beal. I'm not okay with packaging those guys to get Drew Holiday. I think I might have been, like, maybe even 24 hours ago. But the more I look at it, the more I think about it, I'm not there. I don't want to do that. I think the depth is so, so huge for us. And I don't, if we're moving up, I don't think we need to be giving up. God, I don't know. I think the only player that we could give to move up would have to be someone like Jalen Brunson or maybe even Dwight Powell. But, I don't know, to move up to seven. I'm just so iffy on that. I think Jalen Brunson, I think he actually does have a lot of value. And I think having those guys where I guess I'd come back to being similar with the Nets right now, people are talking about the Nets having very tradable guys in Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and Caris LeVert. I think we could find ourselves in a similar situation where obviously Caris, Spencer, and Jared Allen have a lot more value than guys like Jalen Brunson, Maxey, and maybe even Seth. But I think you could find yourself in a similar situation where you've got tradable contracts, very useful players that could be useful in a lot of systems. And that's where you could find yourself in a situation of, oh, we've got a better trade package, not for someone necessarily for someone like Bradley Beal, but that could be very useful, being able to package those guys together down the line, more so than having one or two of them and really not being quite there. So, if we're going to move up, I don't know. I'm nervous because I really don't know what it's going to look like. And if you have to give up any of them, I don't know. I will be very upset if we give up like Jalen Brunson. If we were to give up Jalen Brunson and Dwight Powell, and then what are we? I mean, Tony Snell. I'm not super huge on Tony Snell. And to me, the best part about the player swaps is just moving off of the money with Tony Snell being expiring. And then at seven, what you take Okongwu. At that point, you got to bring back Trey Burke, and I don't know. You just that then at that point, you do have some spots to fill. But again, point guard is the position in the NBA that has the most depth. There's always someone to go get. So I think there you would have that would be very bittersweet for me personally. But at the same time, I am really keen on the idea of moving up in this draft because I think you're going to have guys that fall. And I think that any team that can maximize on that opportunity could really, really strike gold.
Yeah, Tony Snell's not like, you know.
He's not useless.
He's an upgrade of Justin Jackson. I will leverage that. And he can actually shoot a three-pointer. So Carlisle would, I think, find him very useful. Now, let me reposition the proposal. Now, let's say it was – oh god. Well, let's say they want. Let's say they throw in Tony Snell, but then we have to like as a player swap that we have to give up. It's just Maxey to Detroit.
Maxey to Detroit, and we get seven.
We get seven and Snell.
Yeah, I'd do that. I don't want to lose Maxey, but I would do that because I think again, I think if at seven you're getting one of Obi Toppin, Onyeka Okongwu, Halliburton, or even someone like Killian Hayes. I don't think Killian Hayes will fall to seven. Well, he could. He very easily could. If you're getting one of those guys, I mean, shoot. Yeah. Some of those guys I think could work their way into the starting lineup. I really like Killian Hayes. I know some – I don't know if everyone else is on that board, but oh, my God. Go look at his step back. Go look at that guy's step back. It is nuts. Oh, my God. So, well, I mean, I would do that. I would.
And the other one I was thinking at, which would be hard on principle, so the Wizards, that would be one I think there would be, I think, a lot of mixed bag feelings if the Mavericks made a draft night trade with Washington and nothing came out of it other than Bradley Beal. I think a lot of people would be very sad and disappointed on that. Now, I know you've just shared your kind of disdain on potentially trading Jalen, but based on what Washington has as far as like a roster, there's not really a lot of functional dead money. The Mavericks can really take off their books. You know, they've got a lot of relatively cheap contracts and they don't really have any point guard help. So I think if you leveraged 18, 31, and Jalen straight up for nine, it could get there. I think that it would be enough to get there for Okongwu if that was just a guy that you're really keen on. I think they do it because they really don't have – I know there's been videos of John Wall like practicing and stuff like that, but what a security blanket Jalen Brunson would be for that. I don't think there's any way they do that without the second round pick, but maybe. I mean, if they see how highly, you know, maybe they value Jalen Brunson as highly as we do. I don't know, but I would be more comfortable entertaining it if we still kept 31, but I think if they're that keen on two of those guys, then I'm open to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that. I think it's so huge to add defense for me, so that's why I want Okongwu so bad. I don't know who's going to be available at nine. I mean, I know seven is only two spots ahead of that. But if at nine, let's see. Well, again, one of those guys would be available. You're either going to have Okongwu, you know, right before that. It's Okongwu, Halliburton, Okoro. So let's just say you swap Okoro with where Okongwu is, and if you trade up to nine, you can pick from Okoro, Achiuwa, Vassell, Naismith, Sadiq Bey. I mean, those are all guys that I think could instantly come in and, you know, provide you with quality minutes. And so as much as I love Jalen Brunson, if Okongwu's there, good God, please get me Okongwu. But you can replace a point guard. You can. And as much as I hate to say that, those are the facts. So if you could get someone, again, going back to the Obi Toppin, Okongwu, guys that I think could come in and even work their way into the starting lineup, especially Okongwu, I think that trade would be worth it. And I would say pull the trigger on it.
And I was going to say, if the Mavericks somehow kept their pick at 31, it might be a little higher than expected, but there is a guy that around the late 30s that has kind of Jalen Brunson kind of, similarities to me. And it's a 4-year guy from a big time team, Cassius Winston from Michigan State.
I really like him.
He would be, I feel like he would be a Jalen Brunson light, you know.
Definitely. And
I think he would be, this is a guy who's, he was at a big time program for 4 years. He knows how to run a team. I feel like this would be a nice transition for Brunson. So like you said, I don't want to say you can find like a functional point guard off the street. That's like a disservice to Jalen, right. But
yeah,
there, you can find people, you can find point guards a lot easier than, you know, potentially like these 3-and-D guys or these stretch fours,
mm-hmm.
like slash exactly. fives that can do a lot of everything. And there's also this kiddo out of Arizona that could be apparently available, but I'm not really too familiar on him, but there could be a point guards aplenty that the Mavericks could, partake in to replace Jalen if that's the case. Now, another scenario that I don't know could be beneficial or cause chaos, but do you think it would work in the Mavericks' favor if the Knicks actually moved up to, let's say, 3 or 4, or like they tried to really move up and get Ball?
Okay.
That, like, do you think that would actually be beneficial because usually like in an NFL draft, right? Like where it gets really crazy if like somebody tries to draft, like trade up for a quarterback. So in that aspect, if the Knicks decided to move up and let's say they move up with Chicago or Cleveland, do you think that actually benefits Dallas?
Oh man, that's tough. Are they swapping, or I'm assuming they're swapping?
Yeah, let's say in principle, I don't know what the trade package would entail, but like the Knicks move up to 4 and they really want Ball. I really don't think any of the top 3 are moving from where they're at. So then that's why Chicago makes the call to, or New York makes the call to Chicago for Ball. Because I really can't see them leaving this draft without Ball. I somehow, somewhere,
the Knicks,
they're gonna make it happen.
To be honest, I think the Knicks are shooting for 2. I think they might be betting a little bit that Golden State's not going to be able to hunt that big game that they're hoping to get. I think that they would be willing to throw Golden State some, hopefully a decent enough offer. I just don't know if they're gonna have enough to get it done. So if they swap with Golden State, see, I don't know. To be honest, that is, I have no idea. Because if Chicago moves back, I personally, I don't see LaMelo going out of the top 3. I know people are like, oh, he could fall to 6 or he might fall out. I don't buy that for a second. So I think you would have to jump into the top 3. And I think 2 is the only way the Knicks make that happen. I don't think Charlotte is going to move off of 3 to trade back. I don't see that happening. That's so hard. If Golden State moves back, I don't know if they would even try to move off of that, or if they would just take someone they could take Okongwu. They could take Okoro. Well, I think Cleveland will take Okoro, but even Golden State, say they move back to 8. I mean, they could even take Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin would, it's Jesus kind of, it's almost kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of the same situation as Dallas and Golden State as far as who they would select, especially if Golden State moves back. I know right now people are talking about, oh, maybe Denny, maybe whatever. But when you talk about the James Wiseman fit with Golden State, or even Okongwu or Toppin with Golden State, you've already got star players. You don't, and that's why it's similar to the Mavericks. You don't need to draft a LaMelo Ball, an Anthony Edwards, somebody to try and really get your franchise going. You already have it going. You need someone that's going to come in and complement and just be a good option to again, complement your players that you've got. So that's why I'm like, Golden State might trade back and, you know, not blink. So I think, yeah, I don't know that it would to be honest, I don't know if it would necessarily affect Dallas in a positive or negative way, because in my opinion, the only trade partner I see the Knicks having is Golden State. And I think if Golden State moves back, they're going to pretty much be looking at the guys that we're looking at. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I think we presented the case that, you know, some package with Mitchell Robinson, I don't really think Golden State would turn their nose to that, and they say, okay, let's talk. And that would even be even scarier proposition than a guy like Toppin in their lineup. Now, guys, the Mavericks have actually had kind of interviews with everybody kind of like raised their eyebrows, especially after the Brad Townsend article dropped a couple weeks ago about how the Mavericks are potentially interested in moving up. A guy like Tyrese Haliburton, mm-hmm. from Iowa State. I know you were really high on Jalen earlier, but would you be really mad, disappointed if somehow the Mavericks move up and they somehow acquired Haliburton? Because he's kind of like a guy that's on that level where he's falling right now from anywhere mm-hmm. from 7 to 10. Would you right. feel okay about giving up Jalen if the Mavericks acquired Haliburton?
Oh boy, that's tough. No, I think I'd be okay with that, because Haliburton brings defense. He did a little bit of everything in college, averaged 15 points, 6.5 assists, 6 rebounds while shooting 42% from three. He's a 6'5 point guard. Again, I mentioned it earlier, definitely needs to add some weight, but he brings something different to the table. He's an oversized guard that I just think he could be very useful on some roster. I don't know how well he plays off the ball, so I don't know. I don't know if you're looking at, oh, could he become starter level? I don't know if that's the case for our roster. Again, going back to someone like Toppin or Okongwu, I think they have that potential. I don't know if Haliburton does. So at that point, are you saying, well, would you rather have Haliburton than Brunson coming off of your bench? Yes and no. What I like about Brunson is how mature he plays and how patient he is. He plays at his own speed. He doesn't necessarily need to be super quick to be successful. What I like about Haliburton is he has a lot of length. He averaged 2.5 steals per game. And he just, I think he could bring some defense where maybe we were hoping to originally get that from DeLon, right? But again, you're looking at a 6'5 point guard who has the length, kind of similar to DeLon, right? So that use might be interesting. If it didn't work with DeLon Wright, could it work with Tyrese Haliburton? Tyrese, again, 42% from the 3-point line. So that may be where he differs from DeLon Wright in a sense. So if that's the move and you end up taking Haliburton, I don't think that I would be over the moon, but I would be okay with it, because I do think Haliburton has a lot of room to grow, and I think he will be a fun player to watch. So, I'm a little bit higher on someone like Killian Hayes more so than Haliburton. So I don't know. I would have mixed feelings about that, but I don't know. I love the defense. That's why I like Haliburton. Haliburton brings you perimeter defense more so than Killian Hayes does. So that's where I like it. But Killian Hayes, a guard that I think could come in and impress so much that he could work his way into that starting lineup. Again, you would have to, that being said, if maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. isn't on your roster anymore. But I think so I don't know if Killian Hayes is going to get a starting 2-guard spot over Tim Hardaway Jr. and Seth Curry. But I think his skill and his ceiling, I think he's got great vision, great playmaking. He can shoot the ball. He's a lefty. He just doesn't have a whole lot of defense. But Haliburton, I think he would just be more of like a defensive option off the bench. I don't know if I would be so thrilled to move off of Brunson if it means you're getting Haliburton. I think I might rather keep Brunson and draft at 18 and 31.
Yeah, I'm for that, because it seems like, man, would somebody really overpick Bane like around 14, 15?
I think so. Oh, at 14, 15, I absolutely think someone might take him because I want to say it was, we're talking to Mavs draft in locker room yesterday. He said that, and you might correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe he said that he thinks Bane coming into the league, like there's not a scenario in which he sees him not being successful. And I agree with that. I think he's just such an NBA ready player. He also talked about his athleticism being underrated, and it absolutely is. I don't know if people saw that video of him doing runs in the gym, but holy crap. So I think certain teams, I mean, let's see, like RJ Hampton slotted at 16. I mean, Dallas guy, I'm rooting for him to be successful, but Desmond Bane is a far more, you know, safe bet than someone like RJ Hampton. So that's where I definitely think you could see him going, sneaking up and just being a random pick that people are like, who's this guy? But people that do their research know damn well who that guy is.
So is it pretty right now? Do you, with, you know, with the draft only a couple of weeks away, is he pretty locked to go anywhere from 12, like anywhere from that 12 to 14 range? There's no way the Mavericks could just sit there, be patient, like a Pittsburgh Steelers and just wait, like have the draft, like just fall in their laps rather than trying to overstep their boundaries and just let the draft come to them rather than, you know, just forcing it.
You know, that's tough because as much as I want Desmond Bane, I do think that there are also solid options around 18. So I think, to be honest, I'd be surprised if the Mavs hold pat and Desmond Bane is available at 18. Like I could see that happening, but at the same time, I could see some of those teams being like, he would be a fantastic addition. Let's go ahead and take him. I just don't know if teams are looking at some of these guys that could fall or if they're looking at some of these sleepers down below. I don't know if they're all, I'm assuming that they're looking at all of it because why wouldn't you? It's the NBA draft. But I feel like it's a little risky to kind of hang around at 18, but at the same time, how much are you giving up to move up to, I don't know, maybe 12 to 14 if you're looking to move there specifically to take Bane? I don't know how much you're giving up. Again, at 14, that Boston pick, I don't know how much you're going to have to give up there. But if you can just pretty easily move up there and that's where you take Bane because you know maybe Orlando at 15 or even Portland at 16 is looking to bring him in, well, then, yeah. I'm okay with doing that. But if any of those teams are like, oh, we want, you know, they're asking for Brunson or anything or even, I don't know, if they're asking for something that's like, okay, that's a little bit much. Well, then I'd rather hang at 18 and get Puka or Tyrese Maxey, Josh Green, even Cole Anthony, who I talk about all the time. I mean, there are tons of guys at 18 that I would be thrilled that we would take. It's crazy though because it's getting to a point where I'm like, man, if we can move up, that could be such a game changer. So a part of me is going to be disappointed if we keep 18 because I want to move up so bad, but at the same time, as much as I want to move up, I'm not willing to give up too much because unless you're guaranteed to get Okongwu, Toppin, those guys that I have said 10 million times, I don't know that I'm so inclined to give up Maxey, Brunson, any of those guys, you know?
Well, let's do business with our favorite team that we like to poke fun of, Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
So let's say we make the call to whoever their new GM is. I don't know his name, but let's say, hey, we want to move up to 12 to get Bane. Mm-hmm. Let's do business here. We'll give you 31 as well to move up six spots. Would you do it?
18 and 31 for 12 straight up.
Yep.
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that for sure. The reason I could see them doing it is because if there's someone that they're not super like, oh God, 12, we have got someone at 12 that we really like. I mean, I still think, again, there are good options around 18. So if they're looking to add two guys as opposed to one, I don't know if all teams, I mean, surely they don't all have the same, perception of the draft, but if the Kings are a team that think that the gap between 12 and 18 is not that, you know, significant, I guess you could say, maybe they would entertain that. I don't know if they would want, you know, players or something in return, but I would absolutely do that if it means moving up to 12 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. It would obviously be very sad if, you know, the Mavericks didn't have that pick at 31. And for all intents and purposes, if they really wanted to get back in the draft in the second round, those picks are cheaper. So
right.
They could easily make a call to a team like Philadelphia or who else has a crap ton of second picks or a crap ton of second round picks. Let's see. Yeah, Philadelphia, obviously, that's the main one. Golden State has a few in the second round as well. So they could easily do business there if they really wanted to get back in and take a flyer and a guy like Ramsey or McDaniels or Stanley. Right. Like,
I would love to talk to.
But it sounds like we really, because I've been in the locker room chats with the Orlando boys, and they're really keen. And then also Adam Taylor, who does a Celtics podcast for the SB Nation page. They're starting to really fall in love with Kyrie Lewis. So we really need like guys like him, RJ Hampton, Jalen Smith, that we need these guys to rise. So that way these other dudes can fall. And then maybe that way the Mavericks can kind of just stay pat and not really have to do anything and just sit back and enjoy the ride. Not that like Shadiq Bey is going to fall past like 14. I find that hard to believe. If anybody's going to be there around 18 that could fall right in their lap, I could completely see that being Bane more than, you know, somebody like Bay. But somebody that you did reference in your article, and I apologize that we haven't touched base on him yet, Aaron Naismith was a guy that you keened on, like a guy the Mavericks could maybe look at if they like look at getting if they were going to trade up. And obviously right now per Tankathon, that's where they have Naismith. Is it Naismith or Neesmith?
I think it's Naismith. I could be wrong, though. I say Naismith.
I like Naismith better. So that's sorry for butchering your name, Aaron. But so what's special about this kid? So we've got a sophomore out of Vanderbilt. We've got a long wingspan. We're a small forward. Looks like we need to put on about 5 to 7 pounds at least to put some muscle on you. Why would the Mavericks be invested in this kid potentially?
I think the glaring, fact would be the fact that he shot 52% from the 3-point line. And I forget on how many attempts I want to say. I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say it was like 6-ish. But yeah, 23 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 52% from the 3-point line. He's known for his ability to score. I think he could come in and kind of be that. I don't know if he's like the best defender. I don't know that you could say that, but he would come in and be an immediate shooting option. And I don't think his numbers transitioning to like his shooting numbers in the NBA. I don't think he's really gonna like. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, he's gonna shoot 52% for the three. That's just not how that works. But I think he's gonna come in and be able to be a solid spot up catch and shoot 3-point shooter. So I wouldn't mind if he's the selection, but he's probably the least exciting, I guess, only because there are guys that I think could come in and really give you a little bit more than just shooting. And I think he's got a little bit more to his game, but I think those aspects of his game might take a little bit more time to showcase, I guess, in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he'd be a bad option, but I think there are more pressing issues. Like we talk about all the time, we don't need more offense, we need more defense. So that's why I would be like, okay, well, how much did we give up to move up to 12 and take Naismith? But I mean, you can always use more shooters surrounding guys like, I mean, Luka. So it wouldn't be a bad pick, wouldn't be my favorite pick.
Yeah, I mean, you always need more shooters. You're absolutely right. Now, maybe Naismith, could he be one of those guys that falls draft night? Maybe.
Yeah.
Based on this gaggle of like between 12 and 18, there's certainly a possibility because maybe there's guys like Maxey from Kentucky that rises up boards. Hopefully we have to have somebody fall in love with Cole Anthony. I know that's one of your man crushes, Lauren, but I mean, for the greater good, if Phoenix wanted to take Cole Anthony at 10 or something like that and bump one of these dudes down, I'm completely for that.
No kidding.
I can't foresee that, but do you think the Spurs could be a viable trade option?
You know, I keep looking at that, and I just, as much as I'd like to think so, I'm trying to have the mindset of, oh, everyone's an option, but I just don't think they would. I don't know how many recent trades that they've done with Dallas. And I think that obviously DeMar DeRozan continues to find himself in conversations, even LaMarcus Aldridge. So I think they're kind of more looking towards the future, and that future includes trying to strike gold in the draft. I don't see them moving off of that pick.
I mean, I bet if you toss 31 at them, they'd consider it.
18 and 31 for 11?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think you'd have to give them more than that, because I think if they really like Pukhchevsky, obviously that Popovich, you know, if yeah. they really like Poop, maybe, but I think they're going to try and hope that someone falls that they can really kind of take advantage of and really get some, or at least try to get something going and maybe just get lucky, because 11 is a spot that sometimes guys just fall to, and that's I want to say what Booker went 11, Tyler Hero went 11. I think there's a number of guys that might have gone. I think maybe even Donovan Mitchell went. I don't that might be wrong, but I don't know. If I'm the Spurs, I'm not trading that pick.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's just me.
Well, and their roster is kind of weird, like everybody else. They have, like, you know, nobody really knows what's going to go on with DeRozan. I can't really foresee him opting out of almost $30 million. Aldridge is in his last year. I don't know. I mean, what if they wanted – I don't know. I don't know why they would – it would be a very unspursy move, but – what if they were like, yeah, we'll do that trade, but you got to take some money off our books, and they want you to take Rudy Gay. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, give me that. I would love that.
Yeah,
he'd be fantastic for us.
So he that's 14 mil.
For how many years?
He's on his last year's deal.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I don't know if that would be somebody they would hold near and dear until the trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, maybe they're just looking to get some money off their books.
To be honest, I will say I would love that. If you could get 11 and Rudy Gay, oh my God, I would love that. But I do think Rudy Gay is the type of player. He's almost, I mean, I don't want to say DeMar DeRozan light, but I see him being the type of player that they kind of dangle out there to contenders, because I think contenders would kind of, I don't want to say line up for him, but I think they would give something decent enough for him. I don't think that they would look at him as a salary dump. I think that they would look at him more as a, oh, he could provide to be useful to a playoff team that's looking to add some scoring off the bench. So I don't know if they would do that, but shoot, if that is on the table, I would do that 10 times out of 10.
I don't think they would take the dead body of DeLon Wright. No, I wish they would.
I don't think so.
I wish. Too. But I don't know, just something, I was looking at it and, you know, maybe it just depending on if there's like somebody they really like on the roster, I think they would. Man, I think they would love to get off the money of LaMarcus this year, but I don't think they're really in that much of a hurry to get that. And I'm not really interested in 35-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge right now.
Nope, like, I'm not. I know. I think Grant Slingerland is really high, or he would love LaMarcus Aldridge, but I'm just not there.
I mean, I can talk myself into it. He's in his last year of his deal. So if in theory you're, you know, trying to win this year, but then trying to go all in for Giannis, that still it works. And it makes me cringe a little bit, but I don't hate it. I do love the girthy option of having, like, God forbid, you know, if, I don't know when KP is going to be available to start. I would presume somewhere around January-ish. If, let's say, you know, you have to have kind of like the fill in the blank of Aldridge for a little bit, That's not a terrible alternative. I think LaMarcus would also have to come to terms like, hey, dude, like you're getting paid this crap ton of money, but you're not starting. I'm sorry. Like there may be games where you might start if KP needs a rest or something, but you're going to get like a solid role on this team, but you're going to be in the second unit. LaMarcus with Jalen and insert Seth. That's not a bad unit.
Did you say how much his contract was and for how many more years?
So last year, so the final year of his deal, he's making $24 million.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I know I said this about Gordon Hayward, but LaMarcus Aldridge obviously being a big, I would be okay if it's more of like a salary dump type thing or you're not giving up that much to bring him in, I would be okay with that because I think he's at the stage in his career where I don't think he would mind coming off the bench because I think he just wants to win at this point. Like he's really given it a go and it just hasn't quite panned out. So if that's something where you're not having to give up a whole lot and you're bringing in LaMarcus Aldridge on he's expiring. I'm okay with that as long as you're not giving up too much. And if you can find a way to get off of DeLon and Justin Jackson and maybe another trade to clear up some even more space I don't know. I don't hate the idea. I don't love it.
Yeah, no, the Mavericks would obviously have to get a little creative on freeing up the space for LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's see, because I don't think DeLon straight up would work. You'd have to really, let's see. I don't think Justin Jackson works either. Let's see. I try this trade on the fly. No. So you'd have to get a little bit more creative, and I'm not really giving up Dwight for really old LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm not
right.
Even though Dwight, it's not going to be necessarily the same. No, and I'm not giving up Seth either. No, thank you. I mean, Tim Hardaway's junior's number is not going to be smaller than 17. So I don't know if that works. So maybe that's a dumb admiration of a dream, but I can talk myself. I think Carlo would love a guy like Rudy Gay, right?
I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he would adore Rudy Gay because I think he would use him like similar ways that like Pop does and give teams a living hell. Like he would just give them fits all the time because Rudy Gay, like how much does he weigh? He's like a girthy, not like a fat, like he's not fat. He's just like very wide.
Yeah.
He's got basketball hips. He's 6'8", 250. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's not the lanky little, he used to be real kind of, I don't want to say, well, I guess slight. I guess that's.
I like gangly.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I am all for that. I would love Rudy.
He's a tank, so I'm interested. I'm in. Let's do it. I don't think.
I'm with you.
I can't recall if the Mavericks and Spurs have ever made trades. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But we are just getting closer and closer. The 18th is only it's barely 2 weeks away, Lauren. So we're getting there. Like it will be there before you know it. And we've got a couple of things in the can. I think just for those listening, if you're looking out for anything new, I think we'll probably get on and try to have an episode with a friend of the show, Sean Bush, who will be joining us on the Locker Room Live Mavs wall-to-wall coverage that we'll be doing. So again, if you haven't already done it, download Locker Room on the Apple Store section. If you already haven't done that, I believe there might be a waiting list, hopefully not too long, but please join us. It'll be very fun. And Lauren, as always, I think we killed it. Did you have anything else?
No, I didn't. I think we hit it all.
We hope you enjoyed the episode. Lauren and I cannot thank you enough for your time. Our iPhone users, if you could provide us a rate and review at your earliest convenience, we would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And peace out. This conversation is over. I'm done talking to you. Hit my music. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.